from 11 to 2, it's the thing to do. You're listening to Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Super Bowl Sunday was an even better day for me this year because not only did I have the game to look forward to and the commercials and all that, but before the game, there was 2 hours of poker on television. I'm one of those guys who, as a longtime poker player, has just been totally sucked into the world of TV poker. And every Wednesday night at my house, I'm locked into the Travel Channel for the World Poker Tour. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show Mike Sexton, who, along with Vince Patton, is one of the hosts of the World Poker Tour on the Travel Channel. He's at McCarran Airport in Las Vegas right now, trying not to put quarters into slot machines. Hello, Mike.
Hey, hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. As I mentioned, I'm a poker player, and I want to thank you and Vince and all the people at the WPT for making poker even more popular than it was before, because it brings a lot of new players into the room, and they bring their money with them.
Well, thank you. It's been good for everyone in the poker industry, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, when you guys are doing the show, explain to me how this happens, because I see sometimes that you're in the same room where the guys are actually playing at the final table, but I know you can't be saying everything you're saying while it's happening. How does that happen?
Well, that's correct. We don't actually see the players hold cards during the actual play at the final table.
Uh-huh.
We do commentary and throughout the show, and, of course, when somebody is all in and the cards are exposed, that commentary makes the TV show sometimes. But what you see on television, when players are peeking down at their hold cards, is what we do. We edit back at the studio.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, probably 25% what we do on game day is what makes the air. The other 75% is done back in the studio.
Now, the stuff that you're saying about how they're playing and the fact that we can see their cards is what makes this so much more popular. But I'm curious about how much it may affect how these guys play, especially some of these guys who you've known for a while and they've done a few of these shows. Do you think it's affecting what they're doing, knowing that everybody can see them now and their strategies?
Well, I would really say no to that. Quite honestly, once you get into the groove and once you start playing there at the final table, you're just focusing on the poker game. You're not thinking about the cameras and all the rest. And I believe the top players who change gears, as we say, who change their style of play, it's not really going to bother them for them to be on camera. So, you know, really, in the beginning, there were a few top players that said, hey, I don't want anybody to see how I play. But everyone knows that the only way the show would be successful and there would be a World Poker Tour is if you get to see those hold cards and the viewers get to see those cards. So, you know, without that, there would be no show, and all the players understand that.
Have you noticed, as you watch all these guys, some of the maybe picked up some of their tells or some of their strategies, or are they too good for that?
No, actually, you can pick up some, even on the best of players. You know, I have numerous players tell me just yesterday at the Reno final that they benefited by watching the tapes on the DVDs on Season 1 on the World Poker Tour, and you can pick up tells on these great players. No matter how great they are, everyone has a little tail once in a while. So, you know, certainly, you know, people that are paying attention are benefiting from it.
I didn't know that there was a DVD collection from Season 1 out there. You mean people are actually getting this and sitting down and watching it and studying it? So, oh, I see what Phil Ivey did there. I know what that means next time I get there.
Correct. Over and over and over again, some of these players watch these tapes. So it is educational, and you can go to www.worldpokertour.com. and get a set of DVDs.
Pretty cool. Now, what do you think is the worst mistake players, not just the champions and the ones who make the final table, but other people who are entering and putting up their hard-earned money in satellites or for the big money to get into these big games, what's the worst mistake people make in tournament poker?
Well, generally, one of the mistakes people make is sometimes they act too quickly. You know, they don't take their time and think the situation out before they put their chips in the pot, for example. When they probably should be folding.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, just paying attention at the table is the number one mistake that players make.
And what's
not paying enough attention.
And once they are first coming to the game, and I think you guys have brought a lot of people not only to the game but also to home games as well. There's been a lot more interest in the game of Texas Hold'em, where people used to play a lot more stud and that sort of thing. Well, if somebody's just learning the game, what's the first thing that they should learn when you talk to people about this?
Well, certainly the first thing anybody has to know if they're going to try to play poker is the ranking of hands. You must know what beats what.
Yep.
Now, there's about 10 ranking of hands, starting with the Royal Flush being the highest and the high card being the lowest. But you need to know what beats what. That's the first thing.
Yep.
And then, obviously, the next thing you need to learn is, you know, what kind of hand should you start out with? What two cards should should you start with? And those that don't play poker, the best advice I give them, if you play blackjack, if you get 20 points or more, for example, that's a playable hand.
Yeah, and I always tell people an incredibly important word is patience.
Yeah, without question, you have to have patience and discipline to be successful at poker. Even though when you watch some of these guys on the World Poker Tour, you might not know what they're doing playing all these wild and crazy hands, but there is a method to the madness.
Yeah, you see somebody playing a Jack 3 offsuit and winning a huge pot, you might be likely to do that yourself. That's how you're going to end up losing a lot of money most of the time, right?
Well, correct. You just can't sit back and wait for aces and kings and expect to win these tournaments. You've got to get in there and fluctuate your play. If that's all you played was aces and kings, certainly everybody would pick up on that. When you came into a pot, they would all go out. So, you know, you have to vary your play. You must play some of those marginal hands. You must make efforts to pick up pots, as we say, to try to steal pots. I mean, all this is part of the game, and certainly with experience, you know, you learn this.
But the game that we're watching on TV is very different from the game most people play. You know, when I go to the casino, I'm playing limit poker, not no limit. And I've seen people playing in the low limit game of like a 3-6 game, $3 and $6 bets, where somebody else will bet $3 and they'll be really excited about their hand and they'll go all in. And the dealer will have to say, sir, you push $200 in. You can bet $3 or $6. You know, they're all excited because of you guys. They want to go all in. Everybody wants to go all in.
Nah, it's very true, and, you know, no limit hold'em, certainly, and even in casino plays is making a little comeback. Many casinos now have games where you can buy in just for $100 maximum, and, you know, these have been very successful for a lot of places now, but no limit hold'em is becoming popular. When people go to a casino for the first time, they say, I want to play the game they play on the World Poker Tour.
Right.
You know, which is no limit hold'em, and certainly it is much different than playing limit hold'em, because in limit there's a prescribed amount that someone can bet. Whereas at no limit, you can bet all your money, and it's certainly a difference in play.
Now, tell me about your partner there, your partner in poker, Vince Van Patten, who's introduced as the king of the Hollywood home games. What is that story?
Well, Vince has been around Hollywood a long time. His dad, Dick Van Patten, was a star of Eight is Enough, as everybody knows. And, you know, he's been in a Hollywood family for quite a while. And he actually played in a professional tennis tour for 8 years. And so he's been around running Hollywood home games and playing in them for years and years and years. And even when he was just a kid, his dad would put him in the games when he was 15, 16 years old. So he certainly has been around the Hollywood home games a long time, and that's why he got that moniker, King of the Hollywood home games.
And are we talking about big-time celebrities who get together on a regular basis and put a lot of money on the table, or are they just playing for fun?
No, we're talking about some big-time celebrities that do like to play for money. In fact, we play in a regular game almost on a weekly basis with guys like Ben Affleck and James Woods. These guys love to play big-time poker, and they're fascinated with the game. And we have a little game in Beverly Hills that we play in every Monday night. So, you know, it's fun to play with these guys.
What's the buy-in of that game, Mike?
Well, the buy-in, people buy in for $5,000, but you only put $2,000 at a time on the table.
Uh-huh.
That's the way they keep it down a little bit, and that's the way we play that game. And it's worked out very well for everybody.
Who are some other celebrities who played well? You guys did the Hollywood home game as a WPT spinoff, didn't you?
Yeah, we do. But there's a number of Hollywood celebrities that play poker. Jack Black plays. Lou Diamond Phillips certainly plays. Jim Favreau plays. Mimi Woods plays. I mean, a number of celebrities are playing poker now, and they love the game. They're actually following the World Poker Tour around and playing in World Poker Tour events. I mean, all the ones that won on the World Poker Tour celebrity home game shows, like Richard Karn and Mimi Rogers, these people will actually be playing in the WPT Championship event at Bellagio later this month.
Is that right?
$25,000 buy-in, so it's exciting.
That's great. Now, there was one thing, I think it was on the one that aired on Super Bowl Sunday. You guys had it wasn't a 24-second clock, but what was that clock called where the table lit up?
Yeah, it was called, I called it a shot clock, but it was a one-minute timer where a player had to act in 1 minute or his hand would be folded. Now, you have to recognize that event was a free roll for the players for $125,000, and so just as an experiment, we put that in where a player had 1 minute to act on his hand. If he didn't act in that amount of time, his hand was dead. So,
did you like that?
I happen to really like it. Some players don't like it. I do think it could be adjusted somewhat. Probably 90 seconds is better than 1 minute. And I think if someone asks how many chips an opponent has, you know, the clock should be stopped while that guy's counting his chips. You know, that shouldn't affect his time. But I do think it would speed up the game and think it's better for the game. And I would like to see every tournament go to that eventually.
All right, let me go to the phone for Mike Sexton from the World Poker Tour, 314-969-KTRS, toll-free, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone *KTRS. Rick, you're on the Paul Harris Show. Hello.
How you doing, Paul?
Good. Say hi to Mike Sexton.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rick.
It's the first time I've ever called except for the challenge, Paul. But anyway, I've never played poker much in my life. The only thing I've ever done in the casinos has been the slot machines. But a while back, I started playing on an internet game where you play actual other players around the world, and they have a play money side and a real money side. The first night, within 3 hours, I won $56,000 on the play money side. Now, do you believe that those games are legit, or do they bait you with that play money winning to get you to jump to that real money side?
Well, honestly, I think the play money sites for online poker games are fantastic for someone to go to who's never played the game before, where they'll learn how to play an Omaha High-Low Split or a Texas Hold'em, and they're great for that. They're also great for learning how the betting goes and how the structure of poker works.
Yeah,
however,
right,
to become a better player, they're certainly not the best way to learn how to play poker because nobody ever folds a hand on those sites. So, you know, they're just gambling like crazy. Whereas when you play for real money, you know, people are more intense. They're not going to play every hand. You're going to have to fold a lot of hands, the majority of your hands, to be successful when you're playing for real money. I mean, here's what I recommend to everybody. Go to the free money games on the online sites. Play those until you learn how to play the game and how the betting works, et cetera. Then try a small buy-in tournament. A $5 or $10 buy-in tournament. There you will get the feeling of real poker because it doesn't matter what the stakes are for. Poker is a game that's designed to be played for something, and I feel everybody should try the small buy-in single-table tournaments when they start out playing for money.
Well, it was I really enjoyed it. I've never played it. I love the Texas Hold'em game, and while you're not playing for real money, the excitement was in winning was and being upset about losing all your money was not as bad as if you were really losing, but it certainly, I didn't like to see my pot go down, but it was just struck me as unbelievable as someone with no experience to go in and get thrown these hands, such good hands, to win that amount of money in that short time.
Mike, I think we've got another guy hooked.
I agree. And,
the thrill of winning
at a poker table, even if it's a $10 buy-in, for example, and you're playing a single table tournament, the thrill of winning that is the same as if you won the World Series of Poker. I mean, the thrill is the same. The stakes are different, but you get that feeling of victory and that sense of achievement, and it's very satisfying when you win anything at the poker table.
All right, Rick, thanks for calling. 314-969-KTRS, toll-free, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, *KTRS. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, Mike, you guys, or they broadcast the one where you guys were at some poker tournament, the WPT tournament in Paris. What was it, the Aviation Club? Is that what it's called?
Correct, it was, the Aviation Club in Paris.
Is that the nicest poker club you've ever seen in your life?
Well, I happen to like it there. I've done very well over there myself, so I'm fond of the club in Paris. But it's just a beautiful, elegant club. It's where you think James Bond might hang out. You know, it's that kind of club, an old gentleman's club, very elegant and very old-fashioned, but you know, very swank and just a great place to go play poker.
Yeah, when I was watching it, seeing the wood paneling and everything did have that James Bond look to it. I expected, especially with those rectangular tile chips that they use for the bigger stakes.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
The location of that club is on the Champs-Élysées, which is the main street of Paris, probably the most famous street in all the world. And it's dead center in the middle of that street. That's what makes it even more unique.
When you travel around to do these shows from around the world and around the country, do you, when you're not doing the show, sit down and play?
If we get a chance to, we do. Vince and I both do. In fact, I just returned from Reno today. We ran a World Poker Tour event there yesterday, and for 2 days prior to that, Vince and I got to play some poker. So it was fun to get back in and play a little.
When people see you sit down at the table, is that a smile on their face, or is it fear in their eyes?
Well, actually, you know, they know I'm a tough player, but they enjoy playing with me, and you know, they really enjoy playing with Vince and I when we come to the tables because, you know, it's fun for them.
All right, let me go back to some phone calls here. John, you're on the Big 550 with Paul Harris and Mike Sexton from the World Poker Tour. Hello.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Big fan of the show. I TiVo it every Wednesday.
Hey, that's great.
Question for you. On those poker events, can anyone show up with their buy-in money or are there requirements to get in or how does that work?
No, there are no requirements. That's the beauty of the World Poker Tour. Anybody can play. All you have to do is show up with the buy-in, you can enter and sit down and play with all the stars of poker as well, and you may get lucky, end up on the TV show, and could win millions of dollars.
What is
Are the buy-ins always $25,000, or is each tournament?
No, there's only one event that's $25,000. That's the World Poker Tour Championship event at Bellagio. The rest of them are either $10,000 or $5,000 buy-ins. Most are $10,000 buy-ins now.
But explain about the satellites, Mike.
Okay, here's what a satellite is. A satellite means that a guy can sit down with, say, $200 or $100, and he can play a tournament and win his entry into that tournament. And virtually half the people that play all these World Poker Tour events are satellite winners, as we say. They've won their entry into the big championship event. They haven't forked out $10,000 to play. You know, they've sat down with $200, and they've won their seat by winning a tournament and winning an entry into that event. So, you know, most people that you see are about half, actually pay money to enter straight away, and the other half have won satellites to get into those events.
Because this is part of how it works, John. Let's say you put $100 in, and there are 10 people sitting at a table. Well, that's $1,000 that you're playing for there, and if you win that whole table, you get the $1,000, and now you go and you enter a $1,000 table, and there's 10 people playing there, so there's now $10,000 in play, and when you win that, you've got your $10,000 buy-in, even though you only invested $100.
Right, that makes sense. I mean, I go to partypoker.com all the time, and I'll play an $11 buy-in with a tournament, and the winner wins $50, and it's just, even though it's only for $10, it's a rush. It's a great time.
All right, John, glad you called. Let me move on to Matt. Matt, you're on the Big 550 with Paul Harris and Mike Sexton. Hello.
Hi, guys. I enjoy your program, Paul, and the poker show is awesome. My question is regarding all-in. What is that when a guy basically, the other guys have more money than him, what does that mean and how does it work exactly?
Well, here's how it works. When someone goes all in, that means they've bet all their chips. Now, their opponent, if their opponent doesn't have as many chips as them, they're entitled to call for as many chips as they have. In which case, say I went all in and I had more chips than you, for example, I would get a refund back of the extra amount of chips that I have. If, on the other hand, I had less chips than you, you would just call the amount of chips that I have and you would get back the rest of the chips. So you're only entitled to win the amount of chips that you have, for example, from someone else, and vice versa.
So, for instance, if Mike says he's all in with $50 and you only have $40 in front of you, Matt, you can go in for your $40 and he's only going to be risking 40 of his 50. If you beat him, you don't get his $50, you get his 40 because that's what you bet. But he can't say, I'm betting more than you have and put you out of the game.
I get it. That's why they ask how much the opponent has before they make a final bet, if they're going to wipe the guy out.
Yeah, it's probably the most important thing in tournament poker when you're sitting at the table is to recognize what players have more chips than you and who can bust you and knock you out of the tournament. You know, you always want to try to play pots with people that have less chips than you. So when you do that, you know you can't be eliminated from the tournament. But when you're playing a pot with someone who has more chips than you, you can be knocked out.
All right, there you go, Matt. Thanks for calling. Here is Tim on the Big 550 with Paul Harris and Mike Sexton of the World Poker Tour.
Hey, Paul, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just had a question. I'm not a gambler. How is this going to affect people with gambling problems watching the show on television? Is this going to kind of put a little fuel on the fire?
Well, the truth is, it's like anything else. I mean, people can go to the racetracks and lose all their money, then go to casinos and lose all their money. You know, people have to be responsible for their own actions, I think, and certainly we wouldn't want anyone to gamble or play poker that couldn't afford to do so. You should only play limits that you can afford and play games you can afford, just like any other kind of casino gaming. And you know, there is no difference. You know, people do have to be responsible for their own actions. And, you know, certainly it's very enjoyable to play poker and it's fun to play. But you do have to have a budget, I think, if you're going to play.
But I would also say, Tim, I think it can actually help people who want to be around gambling and want to be around poker players and see real high-stakes action and get the adrenaline kick. I know when I'm watching the show, I get into it the same way I do when I'm watching a great football game. It's that excitement of being a fan and watching how the action is going. And I think some gamblers who may have a problem or even non-gamblers like yourself can still watch the show and get that kind of high and be entertained just by watching the TV show, don't you?
Well, do they keep an eye out for people with gambling problems and don't allow them to pay entry fees? Or
Well, no, they're not going to stop anybody from paying an entry fee because they don't know the personal history of that person. And, anybody that comes up with an entry fee is going to be allowed to play.
The bottom line is, if people do have gambling problems, it's incumbent upon them. We always talk about personal responsibility on this show. It's incumbent upon them to do something about it. And in Missouri, you can have yourself banned from the boats, so you can't go gamble there. Let's move on to Mark. You're on the Big 550 with Paul Harris and Mike Sexton. Hello.
Yeah, gentlemen, you probably know more details about this, but it seems like recently there was a young man who won a world series of poker tournament who had very little experience playing poker. Do you remember that? I think his last name was Money. Is that right?
Moneymaker,
yeah. How do you feel like that's going to affect the game of poker when people see a guy like that who's had very little experience playing come in and win such a big tournament?
Mike?
Well, in truth, he actually qualified online to win a seat at the World Series of Poker. It cost him $40, and he turned in $2.5 million. I mean, really, it's like the American dream come true.
Yeah.
That a guy can take a little bit and invest it, and that's what you can do in online poker sites and in real casinos also. As we were talking about the satellite play, you can invest a little bit, you can take a shot, you can reach out and try to grab the brass ring and go for the gusto, and it's happening.
I think it's going to be good for the game in the long run, and I can see that sort of thing, that chance to hit the American jackpot dream, is bringing a lot more people in because they think that they can do the same thing. And, you know, some of them won't be able to and will learn that they should never have tried in the first place, and others will say, hey, you know what, I like this game, and they'll stick around.
If something like that's possible, what's it going to do to the quote-unquote elite players, or will there ever develop a cadre of elite players if they know that someone, an unknown guy, can come in and just, you know,
knock them off like that? Good question.
The beauty of poker is that anybody can win. And certainly in a given tournament or on a given day, anybody can get lucky and catch cards and win. But believe me, over time, the best players will get the money, and the top players are going to welcome all these new players to the game because eventually they know they're going to profit and benefit from that.
Absolutely. Now, why is it? Thanks for calling, by the way. Now, Mike, why is it that a Phil Hellmuth or a Phil Ivey or a Howard Lederer or a Scotty Wynn or these guys, why is it that they're always at those last tables? Poker is obviously not so much a game of luck.
Well, it's not. Poker is actually about making correct decisions. If you make enough correct decisions, you're going to be a winning player. You make poor decisions, you're going to be a losing player. It's just that simple. And the top players make more correct decisions than people that don't. And that's why they're always winning. But to be really the elite of the poker world, just like in pro golf or pro tennis, you have to have what I call natural ability. And I think you have to have instincts for the game that are sort of uncanny, and these top players have that.
Do these guys...
They sense when their opponent is weak, and they sense when their opponent's got a good hand. They know when to hold them and know when to fold them, so to speak.
Do these guys also know all the math? When we're watching it, and you guys put those statistics up on the screen, 88% chance to win, 54% chance to win, whatever it is, do these guys know all those numbers in their head? Do you know them when you sit down?
Well, I'm not as top mathematician as a lot of these young superstar computer guys are, but, I mean, I certainly know when I have the best hand, when I have the worst of it, and what the approximate odds are.
Uh-huh.
And certainly these the top young guns coming into poker now, I'll tell you why they're so successful, is because they live, breathe, eat, sleep poker 24 hours a day. They're constantly talking about poker hands, how they could have bet this, what should they have done here. They ask other players, you know, what would you have done in this situation, you know? It's no fluke these guys are at these final tables, because they're constantly working on their game.
When you talk to some of these guys after doing a WPT event, do you go up to them and say, how did you know that guy wasn't really for real? I mean, do you talk about tells and strategies with them?
Well, certainly you do. I mean, all the top players talk about it to each other. And, you know, you ask someone, you know, boy, what a great call that was. You know, what do you think there? What made you think he didn't have a hand there? And that kind of stuff. It goes on constantly 24 hours a day in the poker world.
Are there players, Mike, who are so good that you don't want to sit down with them and play them?
Well, certainly, you know, the great thing about poker is you don't have to be anywhere near the greatest poker player in the world to make money. All you got to do is be a little bit better than a couple people at the table.
And there you go.
But, you know, on the other hand, you know, you don't want to sit down and play against seven world champions every day either. I mean, it's going to be a tough grind for you. So, you know, there's a great story that Doyle Brunson once told about a guy named Eric Drake who used to run the World Series of Poker. And Eric had just been interviewed by a reporter. And the reporter had now gone over to Doyle, and he said, Doyle, he said, I understand Eric Drake is just a great seven-card stud player. He said, just how good is he? And Doyle said, yeah. He said, he's a fantastic seven-card stud player. In fact, He might be the seventh best seven card stud player in the world. His problem is he plays against the top six every day. Now, that's a great story that pretty well sums up what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Mike Sexton from the World Poker Tour, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and we appreciate your viewers watching the World Poker Tour.
Every Wednesday night on the Travel Channel, this is the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS.